Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, Kansas in Turmoil edition. And we knew this was coming when the Hush Blackwell report got released by LSU last week that Kansas and Les Miles were not going to be together for very long after that. Matt Fortuna joins me from The Athletic. Matt, this is something that we saw coming. The timing of it was very Kansas-y, I guess. 11 p.m. Eastern time on a Monday night, 10 p.m. local time on a Monday night. But I guess when the deal's done, you get it done. And Les Miles is out. We all knew this was going to happen eventually because of what was going on the field. But the off-the-field stuff, I mean, there was really no choice, right?
Well, it wasn't a firing. It was a mutually parting of ways. And when you say it got done when it got done, I'm sure that's exactly right, because they didn't say what he's parting ways for. Andy, right. They just basically said, we need to start winning more, which goes without saying, but I've had this
also
conversation.
Also, looks kind of bad to say that when you know that's why you're firing him, but I'm with you. I'm sure they lawyered the hell out of this one, and part of the agreement was, don't say you're firing Les Miles because of what came out at LSU.
Right, and I've talked to a number of people connected to that program, and this has always been like my personal viewpoint of the place. There's no good reason that Kansas football should spend a decade as the laughingstock of college football. Like, I'm not saying they need to be Oklahoma or Texas, but like, they have more than enough there to field a competent program that can go to bowl games regularly, maybe get a big upset here or there. Look, Matt Campbell's a rock star, so I'm not saying, all right, you can hire a good coach and you're going to be in the Fiesta Bowl next year. But if Iowa State and Kansas State can do what they do, there's no reason Kansas should be that bad in that conference.
Now, here's the challenge. Matt Campbell is doing what he's doing at Iowa State. Chris Klieman, unlike Ron Prince, a much better follower of the Bill Snyder blueprint at Kansas State. So this all makes it harder for Kansas to win. But you're right. They shouldn't be this bad. You want to hear a really depressing statistic?
I got one for you, but you first.
Okay. So since Mark Mangino's last win at Kansas, which was a win against Iowa State in October of 2009, Kansas is 7-98 in Big 12 play.
Seven wins, huh? Can we name all seven off the top of our head?
One of them is against Texas.
That's
right. I didn't know that.
That's probably the only one I can remember off the top of my head.
There's a TCU win in there. They pushed Oklahoma once.
They did. They did. And they pushed Texas a couple other times, too, if I'm not mistaken. The depressing stat I was going to recite, I put it in the newsletter last night. This is actually more depressing for non-Kansas fans, but Kansas football has won a major bowl game more recently than Nebraska, Tennessee, Miami, and Notre Dame.
That's right. That's right. They won the Orange Bowl. That 2007 team was really good. We don't appreciate Todd Reesing as much as we should.
No. And maybe in another era like this one, a 5'11 quarterback gets maybe a little more respect on his name and a little more looks at the next level. I'm not sure, but that was that entire 2007 season is worthy of its own 30 for 30 or book. But Kansas and Missouri playing a 1-2 game on the last day of the regular season there will forever take the cake.
Well, and 2007 was the weirdest year of college football ever. And that probably might've been the weirdest moment right there. Kansas, Missouri, number one versus number two, the border war.
You know who won the national title that year? Les Miles.
I do. Les Miles. And the thing is, you know, this is not to get too far away. So the reason Les Miles is gone at Kansas now and not, I guess, after this season, probably when he lost a bunch more games, was this stuff comes out at LSU. basically USA Today had to sue to get it. And, you know, I'm not sure. Do you think this comes out? Because remember, LSU had commissioned this report from a law firm called Hush Blackwell after a USA Today story detailed a bunch of stuff involving Darius Geis and Drake Davis and stuff that happened kind of, it crossed the Les Miles era into the Ed Orgeron era. But so they were initially going to do a report on things that happened kind of from 2016 on. If USA Today doesn't find out about the previous report, the one that LSU hired a firm called Taylor Porter to do back in 2013, do you think that gets included in this?
Good question. Fair question. And the natural follow-up to that is Les Miles still employed as Kansas football coach right now?
Yeah,
without everything
which he probably is.
Probably. You know, it's weird. It's such a weird situation because this touches so many different sectors on and off the field. And yet, you know, to put it all under one umbrella, and I know you can't make this all neat, I just don't know who thought this was going to be a good idea.
No.
I didn't know any of this LSU stuff. I don't want to say told you so. I don't want to, you know, these are very, very serious allegations. I don't want to make light of them. Yeah. But
yeah, the told you so has nothing to do with the off the field stuff. The told you so has to do with the on field stuff. The off the field stuff is just gross. And it's really telling that Joe Oliva, the athletic director at LSU at the time, tried to fire Les Miles for cause and got blocked at higher levels. And you saw also Monday night, King Alexander, who was the president of LSU at the time, who's now the president of Oregon State, basically had to say, yeah, I screwed that up, and please don't fire me here.
Well, LSU was still winning in 2013.
I can't tell you the record
off the top of my head, but it hadn't gone downhill yet.
If you were paying close attention, it was starting, but it was certainly not to a point where anybody would have said, for on-field reasons, you would fire Les Miles. Now, when Oliva tried again at the end of the 2015 season and got blocked again, there was a really good case to fire Les Miles for on-field reasons. And he eventually got to do it after the Auburn game in 2016. But the Kansas thing, the hiring of Les Miles, so independent of any of the stuff that happened at LSU, whether they knew about it or not, this was the worst hire in college football this century, because you had a guy who was run out at LSU because he underachieved despite having some of the best talent in the country. So now you're going to hand him some of the worst talent in the Power Five, and you think he's going to overachieve?
And it was, and to go back to your point with LSU, I want to make this point too. When we were talking about Joe Oliva, he also basically got run out of LSU for trying to fire Will Wade, who has been running foul of the NCAA rulebook, wide open, and everyone turned on Joe Oliva. He became the bad guy in there. That's oversimplifying it, but basically, it's hard to see what else that guy could have done. And I don't want to make him out to be a sympathetic figure or to make this winners and losers podcast.
It is interesting because there will be some interesting revisionist history involving Joe Oliva, knowing what we know now.
Right.
Because he was viewed very differently when he got axed at LSU.
Correct. And knowing that, it's easy to see how he could have gotten overruled by trying to run out who at the time was a successful, mostly blood football coach at a football power. But it's just a crazy situation. And to push it forward, as you were saying with Les Miles at Kansas, I mean, there wasn't even a search. Like, this was the worst kept secret in all college sports.
They had a video crew in Baton Rouge before Les was hired filming.
And it's, you know, you asked if this is the worst hire. I mean, you could argue Kansas has made three of the worst hires.
Yes. Yes.
Between Weiss, Gill.
Charlie Weiss called his team, and I quote, a pile of crap.
And then he cut half of them and didn't have a roster to work with.
Yes, and put them in a scholarship hole. And David Beatty, you know, he's the third in this triumvirate and probably the most sympathetic figure of the bunch, and inherited something to the tune of 30 scholarship players his first spring. But And then Kansas fires him, says, oh, we're going to give you your buyout. And then turns around and says, oh, we're not going to give you your buyout. And he has to sue for it. And then makes Jeff Long, the athletic director, look like a complete clown in the deposition. Now, that deposition is what also tells us that there was no real search. When he can't remember if he interviewed Todd Graham, former Arizona State coach, or Todd Grantham, current Florida defensive coordinator, two very different people, look different, sound different, not even close to the same guy. It was Todd Graham, by the way. And then could not remember the name of Jed Fish or Lou Anarumo, who we also interviewed.
The refusal to pay David Beatty's... First off, how Jeff Long got where he is probably its own podcast, how he ended up with the job at Kansas, how everyone knew this was what was going to happen. He was going to hire Les Miles and it wasn't going to work out. Now, we didn't know it would not work out to this extent off the field, but you knew it wasn't going to work out on the field. You knew he didn't run a real search, and the deposition revealed that much. But his refusal to pay David Beatty his buyout money is malpractice of the highest order in athletics administration. Well,
and that's why I think if you wanted to, if you're Kansas, you could fire Jeff Long for cause. And you need to.
That's because
you're about to owe him a lot of money. Well, because he makes $1.5 million a year. He's got two more years left on his deal.
And it extends with basketball.
Right. If any program gets put on NCAA probation, his deal automatically extends by the length of that probation. Well, guess what? The basketball program is embroiled in this Adidas FBI scandal. And even if nothing really bad happens in terms of penalties, if they don't force them to fire Bill Self, or if they don't, you know, have a postseason ban or anything like that, they're going to put them on probation. So that's $1.5 million a year for every year they put them on probation that you have to pay Jeff Long. So you need to get him out of there before that happens.
Well, and that's the biggest surprise so far, I think, is we all knew when that thing came out Friday, Les Miles was done at Kansas. It was a matter of dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and figuring out an exit plan that everyone could possibly live with. I think the biggest question, and the biggest question still as that head coaching job is open, is was Jeff Long going to survive this, or was he going to be kicked to the curb with Les Miles? And so far, Jeff Long's still there. And he put out a whatever statement about the dismissal or the separate ways, and sounds like he's going to be able to make this hire, which I don't know how.
I don't know. They made it pretty clear there was going to be an outside search firm.
Well, most people are like, they did.
No search firms.
Talking to people at that program, you'd be surprised how often that came up was they never use a search firm. And search firms get a lot of, there's a lot of public discussion about what do they really do and why are they worth all this money.
One of the things they really do is, Matt, they vet candidates.
They vet candidates.
They check and see if there are skeletons in the closet.
And they cover their tracks. I mean, look at Tennessee with John Curry. I mean, that should be, like, every search firm in the country should just use those Tennessee documents as a presentation for why you need us. You never know what you need until you need it. And that's literally why search firms exist. You don't even have to listen to what they tell you to do, excuse me. But you need one, especially when you've tried it your own way, the way Kansas has for so long, and you keep digging yourself into such a deep hole. I mean, Les Miles interviewed for every possible opening between the time of his exit at LSU and the time he got hired at Kansas. And I can tell you, at least Houston, there's one where he almost got laughed out of the room. They said it was the worst interview they've ever had by a head coaching candidate ever.
The theory among the people involved in that process and in these various processes where he was interviewed was that he was doing what he had to do to continue receiving buyout money from LSU. That there might not have been an actual intent to coach.
Well, do you take a Kansas job then if that's your intention or not intention?
Maybe he decided, okay, I'm in now. I'm back. I've got the itch again. But it's just, I don't know. Then you've got the stupid show that they filmed to glorify the hiring of Les Miles where Jeff Long's looking really, we got to find a builder. Got to get a
builder here because this is a build.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
So you hired the guy whose last job he took over for a program that had just won the national title 2 years earlier. He didn't really build much at LSU. I don't know how to break that to you. That's kind of a guy named Nick Saban, who last I checked is a pretty good coach.
I remember when they made that hire official, their Twitter account put out something, a graphic that said, you know, Kansas, the only program in the country with a national championship coach in football and men's basketball. And I know this is like cynical thinking, oversimplifying matters, but knowing the way that some of the worst decision makers in this sport work, part of me was like, Jeff Long absolutely had that graphic in mind when he was interviewing Les Miles and had this coach opening. Like that played way too big of a role. Like the whole win the press conference.
And
the
thing is, fans loved it. Have heard of him.
But fans loved it.
They don't know who can win football games.
No, they don't. That's my point. I don't want to sound condescending because like it's our job to know more. It's their job to know more, the people making the hiring. And you know, when Les Miles gets fired, I was covering Notre Dame for ESPN at the time in 2016 when Les Miles got fired, and that was the same time Notre Dame was 4-8. And you know, every Notre Dame fan in my Twitter mention was, you know, a national championship coach is out there. You gotta go get him, Les Miles. I'm just like, wait a minute, you're criticizing Brian Kelly's play calling? And you want this guy? Like, have you ever watched an LSU game? To say nothing of all the other stuff that has eventually come out since. So I just, you can't let like the fickle winds of Twitter and fan bases dictate the way you do business all the time. You can't. I know you need to.
I joke about
happy,
this,
but
with ADs, because I've asked athletic directors this, and I said, okay, if you just went out to your donors, even your big donors who are kind of who think they're plugged in. And this is obviously pre last week, but I'd say who are they telling you to hire? And they're all like Les Miles. Every one of them wants Les because they've heard of Les Miles.
Yeah. What's funny is something similar happened at North Carolina at that same time with Mack Brown, and like Mack Brown's been phenomenal there. I did not see this coming.
But the difference is Mack Brown had been very involved there. He was very tapped in with the boosters there. He knew exactly what was going on there and exactly what he needed to do to fix it. I guarantee the pitch Mack Brown gave to Bubba Cunningham was quite a bit more detailed than what Les Miles gave to Jeff Long.
Well, it's interesting because that year, the end of the 2018 season, you had Les Miles coming back into it to go to Kansas, Mack Brown coming back into it to go to North Carolina, and Gary Anderson going back to Utah State. And at the time, I thought all three were terrible hires. Now, one of them's looked phenomenal, and the other two are already gone.
Mack says,
I'm 66%. That's 66%. You know, that gets you in the Hall of Fame if we're playing baseball here. But it's like you said, Mack Brown knew the terrain in North Carolina, and he had been at other programs as an announcer, and he had learned what did and didn't work. And you spend 5 minutes on that campus, and yeah, it sounds cliche, but you'll understand why it works for him there. Like, he just has that magic touch there with those people in that state, and that building is just night and day. And Larry Fedora actually was pretty well liked there, and had done the first couple of years had done a really good job.
He won a division.
It wasn't like, oh my God, we're taking over for the worst coach ever, or some guy everyone hated. No, like it was just like, Mack just has this golden touch, and the money just keeps coming in, and we're adding this, we're adding that, you name it. So, but like you said, it was a completely different situation from Les Miles. But that's a good segue, I think, into moving it forward. Kansas, more than anyone else probably, has been governed by the win the press conference mantra of hiring. And I think the coaches who will succeed there are the guys who are kind of the opposite of that in theory. Older, established guys who have won consistently.
That's what you think. I have the perfect candidate.
I know you do. And you know, I wonder if that's a win the press conference or lose the conference hiring. We'll get to that in a second. But
oh, that's one where some people will say you won and most people will say you lost.
Exactly.
But yeah. No, the profile for this job as it stands now, if you look at the names that you're seeing pop out, older guys who are program builders, who real program builders.
Yes.
They've gone to places where it's very hard to win and been successful. And so we would be talking about Lance Leipold at Buffalo. Though I would argue Wisconsin Whitewater, where he had his most success, is kind of the Ohio State of Division III. So but Buffalo is a hard
He's
place
done good
to
at Buffalo,
well there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Willie Fritz at Tulane is another one that is an obvious one. Jeff Munkin at Army is the guy I said they should hire last time, because I think you should be different. You should do something different. I'm actually going much further than that this time, but I would be okay with Jeff Munkin going to Kansas too.
I'd be fine with any of the three guys you just mentioned. I think, look, there's Graham Harrell, Kevin Kane, a number of other talented up-and-coming assistants who I think would be interested and under normal circumstances would deserve long looks. I just don't know if that's what you can do, especially at this time of the calendar year, to make a guy become a first-time head coach. But I really like the first three guys.
Oh, if USC lost Graham Harrell right now. Oh,
I really like the first three guys you just mentioned. Munkin's the interesting one, right? Because everyone talks about winning the press conference, and this guy can't get an interview really anywhere despite completely turning around.
Because people say the option doesn't sell tickets.
Which is, one, the guy's one of 12 coaches in his family. He can hire anyone to be his offense coordinator tomorrow and run whatever they want to run. Two, do what Coastal Carolina does. They basically run the same thing, tinker it a little bit, call it a different name, and people think it's really exciting. I mean, it's that simple.
Exactly. If you run it from the shotgun, and we had Jamie Chadwell on the show on Friday explaining that. If you run the triple option from the shotgun and throw every once in a while, everybody loves it.
Exactly.
The Nebraska offense of the mid-90s is the best example of this. The triple option was their play action, but they threw quite a bit, and it was awesome.
I think there's so many different variations of it now that it's just way too tired or old school thinking to think, well, you know, this isn't the 90s anymore. We can't run this. Like, one, you're Kansas. Beggars don't get to be choosers. Two, look what Munkin's done in Army. I mean, you talk about a hard place to win, a place that has had no success, an adult in the room with Midwestern roots who is a true leader and is going to clean things up. I mean, that's the guy. And you know, I don't know what more he could possibly do at Army, but he couldn't even get an interview at South Carolina, where the president is the guy who hired him at Army.
Worked with him in Army. Yeah.
I mean, the donors wouldn't even let him interview.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Munkin or anybody of that ilk at a place like Kansas. Kansas must have a defined identity.
Yes.
It must. Like, Kansas State has a defined identity. And Chris Klieman has done a really good job of building to that, playing to that. The best case of a defined identity in college football in the Power Five is Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez established the identity years ago, probably 30 years ago, or maybe not quite that long.
No, about 30.
But 25 years ago, basically. 93, they won the Big Ten. But he established the identity, and then has carried through four different coaches, and they're still doing basically the same. Now, they adjust as the game adjusts, but they know what they are, and they can recruit to that. And that is critically important, because if you don't know what you are, you can't have a coherent recruiting plan.
There are a lot of good up-and-coming offense coordinators or offensive-minded head coaches who every offensive guy right now is a win the press conference hire, right? I mean, that's what fans want to see. That's what they want to sell. That's why defense coordinators have such a hard time getting jobs these days, because the numbers aren't there and people want to sell tickets. That said, you're in the Big 12. You're not going to out-scheme Lincoln Riley with some fancy passing plays. Most schools in that conference run some version of the same thing. Texas, Oklahoma are so much better staffed and resourced than everyone else in that conference that you're not going to be expected to annually compete with and beat those teams and win Big 12 titles every year. Although Kansas crazily enough, under Mark Mangino, has proven they could do that when the cards align right, like they did for them in 2007. You need a head coach who, like you said, has an identity, preferably has defensive roots, because I think you're going to win with defense there. You're not going to out-scheme or outscore all those Big 12 offenses every year.
I'm going to out-scheme and outscore them.
Just get to the bowl game most years. Like, this job should not be that bad. Like, it just shouldn't. Like, that's good recruiting territory there.
They have decent facilities. You see the way they treat their basketball players
across the Midwest.
Their football players get treated very well there. It's not a case where they're second class citizens to the basketball team or anything like that. They are treated well.
No, like, I'm a Penn State graduate. People always ask me, why can't Penn State be bad at basketball? I'm like, it's literally major league. They don't want them to be good. They're good at hockey. They're good at wrestling. They are happy succeeding in those sports, putting money and donors into those sports, and just collecting their Big Ten check from basketball. They don't want to be good.
I'm just imagining a standee of Penn State president Eric Barron, and every time Penn State basketball wins, we peel a section.
I mean, it's it is literally major league element there. I mean, they had their plane stop over twice in South Bend during road trips to the western part of the Big Ten last year, and then their plane company went out of business. Like, nobody there cares, nobody there invests, no matter how good you do. That's why every coach, for the most part, has voluntarily left that place. Kansas football is not that way. One, you can't be that way with football at the Power 5 level. You can't just fake it and ignore it. Two, like, they could be all right. Like, again, Iowa State and Kansas State have shown you can win consistently in this league. Maybe not at the highest of high levels, but you could at least go to bowl games every year, occasionally knock off a blue blood that you should have no business being on the field with. And there is pride in that program. There's a big alumni base that, at least when it comes to football, is reasonable and is not expecting you to win a national title every year. It just is incredible to me how this place keeps screwing it up time and time again, usually with the same mistake time and time again. And now they find themselves where they are, and they've been the butt of all jokes for longer than I can even remember. And it does not need to be that way.
We'll be right back after these words.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Here's who they need to hire. Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly is the coach at Pulaski Academy in Little Rock, Arkansas. He is also known as the high school coach who does not punt. He doesn't punt. They onside kick after every score. They go for every fourth down, which obviously they don't punt. His new thing is, if you run on the first play of a drive, you're dumb, because gaining 4 yards or more on the first play of a drive increases your odds of scoring by a ton. So which plays, think about this. Let's say you're a great running team. You average 6 yards a carry. That means you're awesome on the ground. But more than half the time, you won't gain 4 yards running the ball on the first play of the drive. So you're going to throw every time on the first play of the drive. Now, he's not abandoning the running game. There's a use for it. later. But everything he does is built on analytics. And so he won three Arkansas State titles in his first 11 years on the job because he's a pretty good play caller, pretty good motivator. Occasionally had a good player. They're not normally very talented there, but they did have Hunter Henry, who folks who are fans of Arkansas and the Los Angeles Chargers know Hunter Henry very well. But since he built his decided to build his program completely on analytics, this was 7 years ago, they've won six state titles. They go in and they play teams that they have no business playing and beating them. In 2015, I went to see their game at Highland Park in Dallas. Highland Park had not lost a home game at that point since George Herbert Walker Bush was president. They had Division I athletes all over the field. Highland Park did. Pulaski Academy beat them 40-13. Highland Park, by the way, was not bad that season. They went 10-2 playing 6A football in Texas. So what they do, and this is what it is. I think, you know, a lot of it's the analytics and just him kind of finding an edge here and there. But I think the overarching thing is they put the opposing sideline in a really weird state. They basically pucker the opposing sideline completely because if you know the team's going to go for it on every fourth down and they're going to onside kick every time, it's basically like playing against a team that's down 13 with 3 minutes to go. How many times have you watched a game where the team down 13 with 3 minutes to go scores and then they have an onside kick and sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't? But the defense almost always fails on that first drive because they just can't handle the pressure. Well, that pressure is applied for the entire game. And now, would he not punt in the Big 12? He'd have to run the numbers. But my guess is
you don't want to punt in the Big 12.
Well, exactly. He would punt very little because if you think about it, you punt. Let's say you kick it 45 yards. They return at 10, so you've got a net of 35 yards in field position change. Well, unfortunately, the offenses at Oklahoma or Oklahoma State or Brock Purdy at Iowa State, they can cover that in about three plays if they're rolling. Or they can cover it in one play if they're really rolling. So you don't gain much from that. You gain more from keeping the ball. And the way he would justify that, the way Kevin Kelly would justify that, is expected points per drive. You know, if Oklahoma has this many expected points per drive, give them fewer drives by trying to keep the ball.
So I'm getting a lot of Joe Mollia vibes from this. One, maybe without the $1 billion side job before
Joe Mollia won at Coastal Carolina.
Oh, he won a lot. Absolutely. In a good way.
And his successor, Jamie Chadwell, has beaten Kansas 2 years in a row.
That's right. Wouldn't be the first Arkansas high school head coach to go on to have successful Power 5 career.
No.
Not even
That's
close.
Right. There was that one who won the SEC and played for the national title a few years ago and he just got fired, but
he just got hired too.
$1.5 million.
Exactly. He just got hired too.
Yeah, Gus Malzahn was also a very kind of pioneering high school head coach in Arkansas. Now,
wasn't Hugh Freeze the same way? Or if I imagine that similar
Freeze
track.
Hugh Freeze is different. He was a high school coach. He was Michael Orr's high school coach, and that got him into the door at Ole Miss. They put him on the field at Ole Miss after a year. And then he wound up having to go to Lambeth College, which, by the way, I'm working on a story on all that. It's pretty interesting. But he went to Lambeth College, San Jose State, and it went from there. But yes, there is a history of high school coaches being able to come into FBS football and be successful. Now, they're not all successful, but there's a history of that. And I mean, shoot, Notre Dame hired a high school coach.
I remember when Tony Sanchez got hired at UNLV, I remember having flashbacks to Jerry Faust at Notre Dame, and neither of those exactly worked out the way you would hope. But
Jerry Faust was not bad. Kansas would take Jerry Faust's Notre Dame record.
Yeah, I mean, they should. Kansas is not in a position to really turn anyone away right now.
By the way, not to completely derail the podcast, but can you imagine Notre Dame hiring the coach at Cincinnati Moeller High School now?
Well, they had the quarterback, Andrew Hendricks, a few years ago. I believe Hendricks' successor, Gus Raglin, went there and is a GA at Notre Dame right now.
Well, it's a powerhouse.
That's GA, not head coach. Notre Dame, no, I cannot.
That would explode. Like, Twitter would explode. It would be like if Twitter had been around when the Yankees pitchers switched wives. Like, it just, it's one of those stories that could not happen in 2021. The difference is, at Kansas, it could happen. Because here's my thing about whether you hire Kevin Kelly or not. You stink. Like, if this doesn't work,
yeah,
you just keep stinking. But it doesn't cost you very much, and then you just go hire the conventional hire you would have hired all along. But if this works, it'll be the most fun you ever had.
If Jeff Long can make this hire, is he emboldened enough to do it? Because it's like, whatever, I'm getting fired anyway.
There is no way Jeff Long even considers this. Take the man's keys if you want to have any hope.
I mean, look, I like weird, I like quirky, I like different. I like anything that shakes the sport out of the normal hiring practices, which is usually, again, win the press conference, or this guy used to work with this guy 100 years ago, so he's going to hire him, Kansas. So I'm all for it. Will it work? I don't know. I think it would be cool and fun for a year or two, and then you know, people would eventually adjust, and maybe Kevin Kelly is.
But you don't think Kevin Kelly would adjust too?
I don't know. Chip Kelly never really adjusted once everyone caught up to him at Oregon.
But Nick Saban adjusts all the time,
right? Well, I think that's.
I mean, that's
if you're able to be forward thinking and progressive, you're great.
And
if
Spurrier ditched the fun and gun and used Appalachian State's offense to have his greatest success at South Carolina.
Well, the great ones figure it out. The other ones adjust. We still kind of wait. I mean, we'll see. And
guy who constantly adjusts based on the math.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm picturing like a Warriors 3-point boom in the NBA where now like everyone's taking 33s a game and that's just the norm and the scores are different than they were 10 years ago.
I'm okay with it.
Oh, I'm okay with it.
Because honestly, how different is that than, because we've actually seen this in the Big 12 before.
I mean, I was going to say, he fit right in some ways.
Mike Leach goes to Oklahoma with Bob Stoops in 1999, spends 1 year there and becomes the head coach of Texas Tech. Within 6 years, the majority of the league is running the offense. So it's not like we haven't seen this sort of thing before. The Big 12 is ripe for disruption.
Are there any local connections? Do we know anything about Kevin Kelly's staff building or recruiting abilities? Because this is Power Five. It's not like you're going to a group of five and can just out-scheme
his
people.
Recruiting ability is going to be based on analytics too. Now, let's not forget, he's a high school coach. So he's pretty familiar with what different schools recruit, what they're looking for, what they want. So I think he could build a profile pretty quickly of what is a player I can reasonably expect to be interested here. And I would be, the thing I would say is, if he can get, let's say, Mountain West or American quality talent, I bet he'd do better than Les Miles did at Kansas.
Absolutely. I mean, I think,
because
bar should be a little bit higher.
Kansas
has been
recruiting. Kansas has just been, Kansas has been blowing out the offers and anybody who wants to start. The only time Kansas really was a player in recruiting was like 2 minutes when Tony Hull was the running backs coach, their former New Orleans high school coach, Tony Hull, New Orleans high school coach, by the way. He's now in Hawaii, but he had Jamar Chase committed there for a weekend.
Think things change a little bit for if Les Miles' new job, or I guess old job, his most recent old job gets Jamar Chase instead of his previous old job, LSU?
No, he would have left.
Probably.
Or, I mean, look, Puka Williams was good there, but
he was good.
Did it win them that many games? And no. Puka was another one from Louisiana that Tony Hall got. So, you can get a few of those. That would change things dramatically, but the problem is the way they're playing and the way they've been winning and losing, they can't. They can't get those players. So you got to win some before you can worry about that.
You got to win some. You need to, I mean, I come back to what you said, the word identity. I mean, that's the biggest thing when you're at a program like Kansas. I just think the hires have not worked out in most cases for pretty obvious reasons, football-wise, Les Miles and Charlie Weiss. I mean, again, David Beatty, I think this didn't work out. I mean, he was dealt a really rough deck of cards when he got there. But
he also may not have been ready to be a head coach. I mean,
sure.
That's the other part of it. Now, he had a fairly extensive high school experience as well, but was coming from the receiver's job at Texas A&M. And look, not all of these are going to work. Most of these are going to fail. Here, this is the issue. Even if Kansas makes a good hire here, what we consider to be a good hire, and like if they hire Jeff Munkin, I would say that's a good hire. If they hire Willie Fritz, I'd say that's a good hire. It's still not likely going to work.
Well, define work.
A bowl team consistently.
You don't
a
think
6-6 team consistently?
I think after 3 years of actually like building that thing up with either of those guys. And again, they're old enough where that's the fear, right? If you come in a guy who makes a quick fix, he's going to bounce the minute he gets them to a bowl game. Whereas I think a Munkin or a Leipold or Fritz is old enough where like, this is who they are. This is what they like to do. They're not going to be looking for the next
big thing. If you hire Willie Fritz, this is his last job.
Right. And
but I don't think that should be a criteria. He won't leave is a lousy criteria. That is loser thinking. Like, you hire the person who can win the most. And if they do great and they leave, hire another person who can win the most.
I agree. I just don't. I think they've tried the other way so often that.
How? When? Who?
Charlie Weiss?
Who do they hire who could win the. Charlie Weiss got fired at Notre Dame. Again, they hired people who couldn't win with more talent.
Turner Gill is the one where, okay. I mean, I know why it didn't work.
That's the one.
But that was one that was like, oh, they got a good hire. And it wasn't a good
How
hire.
Much of that was, so Turner Gill had a one really good year at Buffalo. How much of that was the backlash of Auburn not considering him when they hired Gene Chizik?
That was a big thing. Everything I gather was Lou Perkins basically forcing everyone to completely cut ties with the previous regime. And once they lost Chris Dawson as their strength coach, the discipline in that program just completely went to crap and they just never were able to recover from that. And the other thing is, Gill's players at Liberty have been all right. I mean, it wasn't good at Kansas, and I don't want to make excuses for him because he didn't win at all while he was at Kansas.
He signed Buckshot Calvert to play quarterback, dude. He also signed Antonio Gandy-Golden to play receiver. But yes, now Hugh Freeze is one more with those guys.
Absolutely. And look, Hugh Freeze could coach. I don't think anyone's questioning his coaching capabilities. I guess my point with Kansas, when you said, when have they made the guy who is going to be the best hire? They made the win the press conference hire, which I guess that's different if we're splitting hairs between who's going to be the actual best coach and who's going to be the guy that's going to sell tickets to get people excited with a brand name who's, Coach Tom Brady or coach at LSU or whatever. But I don't think they should discriminate in this search. I don't.
Good.
I just think you need
to
prove
up the jet. Let's go to Little Rock.
I'm all for that. Because
Kevin Kelly. He wants 90 grand per win.
There you go.
And he said, well, it's because
at this rate, the psychology of price points.
He's like, he's like 100,000 per win sounds too expensive. 90 grand per win sounds just right.
Well, they haven't won more than 3 games in 12 years there. So he wouldn't be racking up too much or cost them too much. And they'd owe him a lot more in buyout money if he's winning 3 games.
He can raise his, here's the thing. He can raise his speaking fee if he wins games at Kansas. So he's going to make that money one way or the other. Now, is he going to make as much as Les Miles or David Beatty did? Maybe not.
Probably not.
But he might on the second deal.
I just think you need someone who's been a head coach in college football, who's been a successful head coach at college football, to go in there and give you a thorough prognosis of everything you've been doing wrong for the last decade, and here's how you should do it. And if it works, that looks like a team that's annually contending for bowl bids. If it doesn't, it's the same as everywhere else. And this will probably be the last job for whomever takes that job. But I don't think the bar is that high here. And I don't think they, in some ways, they have nothing to lose, because what's the difference between 15 straight three-win years or 12 straight three-win years, which they got right now. But they have a good fan base. Like, when they were winning, they were selling out that stadium. And again, you could call it a basketball school, but use that to your advantage. I mean, there's not this incredible amount of pressure to beat Oklahoma or Texas there. There's no reason.
Mark Stoops says being a pretty good football coach at a basketball school is a pretty good way to make a living.
No kidding. The guy signed through, like, what, 2027 at this point? I mean, And he gets the benefit of the doubt when they struggled last year. Just has to make a couple coaching changes. I just don't think there's just no reason Kansas football should be the butt of all jokes the way it's been for so long. There just isn't. Like, it's there's talent in that area. They have tremendous brand reach throughout the Midwest. I'm in Chicago. People go obviously Kansas is big because it's a big basketball school. So many people from Chicago go to Kansas every year just because they like Lawrence, because they like the area, because they want to go to a cool college town. And, you know, a lot of them become part of that football team, whether it's a manager or a walk-on or whatever. Like, there's just – I don't know how they continue to screw up something that shouldn't be that easy to screw up. And yet, here we are. They've done it. It's been very predictable based on who they've hired to both coach that program and who's making the hiring for those guys to coach the program. I just think if they got out of their own way, oversimplified things – hired a head coach who wants to be there, who has been a head coach before. I just think you'll at least stabilize that place.
Kevin Kelly, stop punting, start living. You heard it here first, Kansas.
You better trademark that before Jeff Long does.
I think Kevin Kelly already trademarked it.
So, there you said, another entrepreneurial mind. I mean, he knows what he's doing.
the man's mind never slows down.